My Life Now is a half-hour podcast show which regularly features reviews of new releases and all-time classics of both traditionally published and self-published books.
Tune in for special guest interviews and, of course, helpful tips to not only write your next book, but also to help market it.
My Life Now is most often referred to as a great way for authors to get quality exposure and avid readers to discover their next read.
Without further delay, here's another stimulating episode of My Life Now.
Welcome back to another episode of My Life Now. Once again, my name is Dallas here. As you guys can see, we have some amazing different guests with us today. We actually have three guests, which I think is the first time we've ever hosted so many people on the show before. So Ken, Darwin, and Donna Maria, thank you so much for joining us today. How are you guys?
You bet. We're really excited to be
Wonderful.
Here.
Wonderful.
Great.
Thanks.
Great.
Thanks, Don. Good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
And so you guys have a book together titled Noble Leadership in the Emergent Reality, Uplifting People, Planet, and Prosperity. So we're excited to dive into that. But before we do, I just want to give our audience an opportunity to meet you guys individually. So if Don Maria, if you can go first and just take the next 2 minutes, who are you? Where are you? What do you do? Things like that. And then we'll go into the book after that.
Thank you, Dallas. I am Donna Maria Bordeaux, and I presently am in Hawaii with my husband. We travel all over the world in doing community service, environmental stewardship. I'm a physical therapist and had my own business in Maine for 30 years, a family practice, and do holistic mind, body, spirit healing. I love to do yoga and dance, be in nature, be connected to spirit. I love enjoying time connecting with loved ones, and I love writing and inspiring people to move toward a deeper compassion and love for themselves and for life and for humanity and our earth.
Yeah, it sounds like you've been doing that for quite a while. So that's wonderful. I have one quick question, and I hope this communicates well. Are you wearing shoes right now, Donna Maria? That is my question.
No.
I knew it. When I went to Hawaii, a friend of mine picked me up at the airport and he was not wearing shoes in the airport. And I was like, what are you doing? And then I didn't understand at the time. Now I do. I understand now, but just a funny thing.
And it's a custom here of politeness that you leave your shoes outside the door. They're never worn in the house. So if it's a gathering of a large number of people, you see a bunch of shoes right outside the door. Yeah,
absolutely. Yep. I spent some time there in Moana Valley. And so I understand a little bit there in Hawaii. So thank you so much. Darwin, please tell us about yourself.
Yes. I went into business after college, and I was in planning, corporate planning, but eventually got very interested in leadership and became a management consultant to leaders in big companies. And so that's my background.
Ken?
I'm Ken. I also went to college. Dar and I went to the same college together, undergraduate. And then I got my MBA at New York University. And then I went into the Peace Corps. And I served as a Peace Corps volunteer in Peru for almost 3 years. A really challenging but life-altering experience where I got to see the world, work with people, had low income levels, and really gave of myself a first opportunity to really be a servant leader and to give to society. Very, very satisfying. Came back, did my doctoral studies. I've worked at as a teacher consultant and senior administrator at a number of universities, including the Kellogg School of Management at Northwestern University. And I've worked for some wonderful corporations, Deer & Company and Harris Corporation in Melbourne, Florida. So I bring those perspectives to my work and to the book.
Yeah. And so going back to the book itself, so one more time, the title is Noble Leadership in the Emergent Reality. And so I want to hear more about that title. But Donna, if you could just go ahead and just explain how everybody came together to write this book and kind of what it means for the audience today.
Dar wrote a book, Noble Enterprise, and that's been used at Fordham University and for leadership and business. And in many of his colleagues in the examples that he used in his book, he said, what kind of leadership will create these noble enterprises? So Dar birthed the idea of writing a leadership book. Mm-hmm. And Dar and Ken have known each other since Yale University Glee Club. And many years ago, Ken and Dar started to collaborate, and Ken started to interview noble leaders from 19 different countries around the world. We interviewed noble leaders, and so I was running my practice as a president founder at Greater Brunswick Physical Therapy in Maine, and Dar came as a client to receive care after suffering a stroke. He shares this openly. And as he was working in his recovery with me as his therapist, he witnessed how the office was run, and he experienced a great human spirit and compassion and all of the attributes of noble leadership. And he asked me, he honored me with being a noble leader of my practice. So I offered to help edit, and then they invited me to join as a co-author. And I'm deeply humbled and honored to be. I feel that this is part of all of our higher purpose coming together to collaborate on this project to really make a positive difference in the world and business and humanity and uplifting all.
Yeah, thank you. And Ken, if I could ask you, what is the difference between a noble leader and just a simple everyday leader, if you could give us some context behind that?
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, a lot of leadership is what we perceive as behavioral, what they do and what they accomplish, very goal-oriented. Noble leadership really is an inside job. It is really about the purpose, values, meaning, mission of the individual as he or she approaches work and what that person brings to work in terms of a higher purpose and values, et cetera. So yes, a job of the leader is to accomplish goals, and in business, historically, that's been increasing shareholder value. I mean, Milton Friedman wrote about this in the 1960s and 70s and said the only purpose of business should be to increase shareholder value. And if a company goes beyond that, the shareholders have a right to sue the board of trustees. For there to be a lawsuit against the company for wandering outside its main purpose, which in his view was making money. And our feeling is that yes, businesses have to make money. They need capital to survive. But the purpose of business is not making money. The purpose of business is much more. And our book is really using interviews with leading people around the world who do drive their decisions through higher purpose and values and human spirit to accomplish great things, but not just money. It's really about uplifting people. And by that, we mean the employee, of the customer, the supplier, the planet, and society as a whole.
Yeah, thank you. And Darwin, let's go into that a little bit more. So when you did speak with these types of leaders, these noble leaders from, like you said, 19 different countries, what did you observe? What kind of principles were they showing that made them a noble leader that we should practice or take part in?
That's really what the entire book is about. I would just add that one thing Donna Maria left out of her bio was she and her husband were chosen to lead a small hotel in Hawaii. And it was ranked near the bottom of small hotels. And by the time they finished their stint there, it was up to about the number two. And she did it all through what we would call noble leadership, methods of noble leadership. Yeah. So your question is about what traits did we see? Well, we saw all kinds of traits. And so that's what we write about in the book. And one is a clarity about their higher purpose. One is values, but not just values, but living the values. Another is human spirit, honoring human spirit. and encouraging that. And fourth is creating a sense of oneness. So those are the qualities we identified.
Yeah. Anybody else want to touch on that question as well? Because I know that's, like you say, that's the root of the book. So if we could dive into that a little bit deeper, that would be great.
Yeah, the method, I think what makes the book really intriguing is that we're not just hypothesizing. We actually met people, leaders around the world running very successful companies, very large, very well-known companies like Infosys, the largest technology company in India. And we met with Narayana Murthy, who is the founder and the first CEO, with Natura and Company, six times voted Brazil's most admired company. And we met with Pedro Passos, who's one of the four directors. And so we really asked them a set of 27 questions about, in a sense, what makes them tick? What drives them? Why do they do the things they do? How do they deal with trade-offs between helping people and making money, for example, short-term profits versus long-term profits? How do they deal with conflict and struggles? So we asked these questions, and we came up and we tape recorded all the meetings with their permission. And then we extracted and we said, what do these people have in common? And so in a sense, when you say, what makes a noble leader? I mean, we weren't sure. We just knew noble by definition means of high character. Right. We think that's really important in business. It's the character. It's obviously the technical skills to form strategy, et cetera. But above all, it's character. And so we met people of very high character, very successful. And we said, what makes you tick? And what came up with these four principles, what we call quantum powers of noble leadership, that Dar just described.
Yeah, and I don't want you guys to give too much away, but I know we want to get as much out of this interview as we can. So yeah, if there's anything else to be added into that, that would be wonderful.
We explored more and expanded upon the interviews and gave the examples in the book of these noble leader stories. And so the real life stories are there showing their success and how they use these quantum powers. And we have four chapters just on the quantum powers and how those can influence and enhance noble leadership. And those include higher purpose, living values, and the human spirit and oneness consciousness. And so as we developed the book and the importance of all these quantum powers that we were seeing in all the noble leaders that we interviewed, we developed tools and assessment for individuals interested in becoming and being and expanding their noble leadership to actually have tools, self-assessment in the book that... As Ken and Dar said earlier, it's really a new paradigm, a new model of leadership with unwavering ethics and greatness of character and a reflection inward on what is your higher purpose. Do you live your values? Do you lead from your human spirit? Do you have a oneness consciousness? That interconnection to all that is and the understanding of the impact of our thoughts and our actions on everything around us, that we're all interconnected. And so we delved quite deep into how one can go into that self-reflection with a chapter on tools for noble leadership, self-care tools, how one can really attend to their body, mind, heart, and spirit, and to bring that greater heightened awareness, a higher consciousness of being within ourselves, that's the light of ourselves that we bring forward into leadership.
SharkBite Biz is dedicated to helping businesses achieve growth in the roaring 2020s. In a world full of sharks, learn how to bite first. SharkBite Biz focuses on personal, professional, and business growth during the ongoing global pandemic. They focus on bringing some of the top experts and small business owners to tell their stories about how they broke through the barriers, preventing growth, and got their businesses to the next level. Find more information at sharkbitebiz.com.
Another thing I'd like to add, Dallas, is that you know, the context of this, the starting point of the book, and what we really sort of start with, is the notion that business is really, and business leaders are held in very low esteem by American society. We found a Forbes study which talked about the highest trusted and the least trusted professions. They had 15 professions. Can you guess what the highest trusted professions are? You want to take a try, or should I just tell you?
Doctors, maybe? I don't know.
Perfect. Yeah. It's actually nurses, then doctors, then pharmacists, and then school teachers. And then the lowest ranked professions in certain terms of trust. Now, the high trust people had 60% trust or above, up to 90%. Mm-hmm. Then you get to the low end, and the lowest end was 6% trust. And those were politicians and car salespeople.
Yeah,
and the one slightly above that at 8. So you have politicians, used car salespeople, and third are business leaders. Third from the bottom. And the question is, why do business leaders have such low sense of trust by society? And the answer is, they've done terrible things. I mean, there are stories. We know all these stories of corporate executives, not a lot of them, but the stories are very dramatic, who through their ego and through the desire for personal wealth have done terrible things to their company and the people in society. And so companies are in very low esteem, and the leaders are in very low esteem. And we said to ourselves, wait a minute, there are people out there who are terrific. I mean, Natura being voted Brazil's most admired company 6 times in a row. I mean, they work in the jungle. They're a sustainable company. They hire people. Natura started, it was a startup in 1967, one person. They're now a $10 billion company.
Wow.
$10 billion. Number 2 or 3 in cosmetics and healthcare, yeah, along with L'Oreal, et cetera. How does a company as a startup in 1967 grow this way? And they grow by doing the right things, by showing a lot of concern about about their people, their customers, their employees, their planet, and their society. So we know there are good examples. And what we wanted to do is to say, okay, so we have this dark side of business, and we call this the old reality. It's an old reality based on competition and scarcity of resources and get all that you can. And we see an emerging reality. It's an emerging a reality of people wanting to give, to cooperate, to share, to find purpose and meaning in their own lives and through their work. And so there's this sunrise, this emerging reality, and we look at the old, and we can see lots of examples. And now we're giving the reader examples of 26 people leading top organizations who are moving us into the new reality. Now it's sort of like sunset to sunrise. I mean, it's darkness to light. And in that case, it's inexorable. It's good. It happens every day. We go from darkness to light. Are we going to go to darkness and light in terms of business leadership? We don't know yet. The jury's out. But what we try to do is provide a roadmap and a vision and a way of thinking to get people to move from an old reality of past beliefs that we think no longer are germane into a new sense of hopefulness and success and purpose and meaning in their lives and the lives of the community.
Yeah, thank you. And you said earlier that you asked 27 questions and you had 26 leaders. Is there a reason why it was 27 questions and 26 leaders, or that's just kind of what happened?
Exactly right. We just came. We didn't know how many leaders we were gonna come up with, but we figured there. And we didn't ask everybody all the same questions, but we wanted to have a preset set of ideas so that we could look at cross comparisons. So good question.
I love it just that. That's great. That's wonderful. So what would you guys say is the biggest deterrent to noble leadership? What have you seen in people that you've been working with, or maybe those that didn't qualify to be interviewed? If you could say,
Dar, would you like to answer that?
Wow. Would you repeat the question?
Yeah, what would be the biggest deterrent? Yeah, the biggest deterrent to people being a noble leader.
I still didn't get it. Try me again.
Let me give it a try, Dallas, if I may.
Okay, go ahead.
The question, what's the deterrent? I think the deterrent is there's a lot of pressure in our economic system to have people look at short-term financial objectives. It's a capitalist system, and 80% of stocks are owned by wealth management firms, and they want to see performance, and they don't want to see deviations of performance, And so when companies are trying to grow their companies and grow their people and grow and they have setbacks, the easiest thing in the world to do from an economic standpoint is to lay off people, for example. And so there's economic pressures for people to perform through the finance and economics and show those kinds of results that the marketplace is looking for. There are people who say, no, wait a minute, we're willing to give up in the short run because we're taking a long-term perspective. Paul Pullman of Unilever was a leader of a major company. And for a while, he said, we're not going to report quarterly earnings. I mean, and he got his shareholders to agree to this. But because with the pressure of quarterly earnings, companies do a lot of things in the short run that are really negative for their long-term growth and prosperity. So there's sort of built-in factors that get leaders to think about the short run and performance rather than the long-term and prosperity for society as a whole. Another thing is a lot of top leaders of major corporations are rewarded on the basis of their financial performance. And so, you know, there's this incentive of let's drive the stock price up, let's increase shareholder wealth, because behind it, we're going to get huge bonuses. So you sort of have to fight that issue of gaining short run for the long-term purpose of growing a great company that operates in an ethical and sustainable manner.
And what a temptation that has been. And that's why the business leaders are at the lower percentile on that trust chart. That makes total sense.
One of the things we found that's really interesting is that a number of the companies, some of which we've met and some of which I know through other ways, are publicly traded companies, but a great block of the ownership is owned by the family, the founding family, or the foundation. An example of this is Deere & Company. I mean, it's a wonderful company, highly ethical, great products, great services, just a wonderful company. And 40% of that company is owned by the Deere family and by the foundation. Natura, outside of the United States in Brazil, 40% of that company is owned by the founders. So even though it's a publicly traded company, the founders own 40%. A third example would be Merck AG in Germany, where the Merck family and foundation, I don't know why it's all 40%, but it's the same number. And what happens is if you have a controlling interest in the company, your family values and the values which were part of the foundation and the forming of the company, typically with the founder, can be sustained because the company, the family and the trust want to sustain those values. We talk about that as higher purpose and living the values. And if you have a chunk of ownership which holds to those values and purpose and meaning, and mission, you have a much better chance of long-term success.
Yeah, wonderful.
And I can vouch from my own personal and professional experience that I didn't have a lot of training in business per se, but my focus was always on my higher purpose, my mission to help uplift people and to help them to heal and to help them to be true to themselves and going forward and always acting from my higher purpose and living my values in so much passion and human spirit and that oneness consciousness and the really caring about the staff and the customers very deeply in showing that in all of the leadership decisions and actions. And we grew from me to 30 employees in 7 different offices and won business of the year twice. And many clients said all hospitals ought to be like this because we cared for the whole human being. Yeah. And when we embody those quantum powers of true deep compassion, and when we put those into action, that inspires the coworkers, the employees, it heightens the employee morale and the job satisfaction, and people truly want to give their best, and the clients feel that the love and the caring and the compassion and the devotion to all of these values that we implemented on a daily basis, and it was deeply rewarding.
Yeah.
we found very interesting was when we asked our noble leaders, our interviewees, where their values came from, every single one of them said from their family of origin. I was fascinated with that. Now I said anything else, and then they'd say, "Well, I had teachers, I had mentors, I had professors, I had bosses, etc." But the starting point was family. Mm-hmm. Now, it doesn't mean that if you didn't come up with good family values, you can't be a noble leader. But I think it really shows that this issue of character. You know, I was once working with a senior executive and trying to search a position, and he said, "I'm looking for character." He said, "I can train people on the skills, but the character is something I have to get." And so it really comes down to, what is your character? What are you made of? You know, what is your DNA in terms of ethics, morality, caring about people? The oneness consciousness was something I think we found surprising. But when you think about it, and Dar came up with this, it was really, I think, very insightful. You know, companies in complex systems break things down into smaller pieces to manage them. You know, it's called reductionism. And so in corporations, typically you have finance department, marketing department, operations department, human services department, legal department. Each one is doing its thing because we need that kind of specialization. But the tricky thing is putting them, all these pieces, back together into one whole consistent piece.
Right.
So lots of times there's internal conflict, internal department fighting, internal people fighting, or the company fighting with the community. It's all about conflict. And the great leaders, the noble leaders, can harmonize and bring all these pieces back together in one harmonious whole. I mean, that's really hard to do, with large, complex organizations. But that was one of the characteristics we found in all these cases.
Wow. Anything else to add on that, Dar?
One of the noble leaders that we identified was the new CEO of AT&T Canada. And that company, it was actually a previous company, and it was going down the tubes. And he came in and rescued it. And at least that's the way I've always looked at it. So I asked them several times, "How did you do this?" He said, "First of all, I didn't do this. We did this." So he put a lot of emphasis on his people, what the values are and how to use those to make certain decisions. And he was not a hard-driving leader in that sense. He was a very soft leader, but he had great results.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think I can learn a lot from this book, from this idea of noble leadership. And I think you're exactly right, not hiring just on your skills, because everyone can be taught something, but hiring on character. I love that. I love what you said about, Ken, earlier you were talking about making short decisions today for short-term results when we should be thinking of long-term results. I mean, those are amazing things that we can apply to our life and our businesses and our culture and different things that we're involved in. And so I really appreciate your guys' time here. I have so many questions that I could ask, but just to give our audience a very clean and understandable, easy to consume interview, I think we're almost there on that. And I think that we delivered a good product in that way. And so, Donna, anything else that you think that our audience should know today from your guys' time here?
I believe that the people who choose to buy and read this book, that it's an opportunity for them to really reflect more on their own quantum powers and gain that heightened awareness and that heightened consciousness as in really practice these tools of noble leadership to be more insightful and in tune with their own innate human spirit, living values, and to bring these into leadership. And I believe that reading this book will help to guide people and empower people to want to become more noble and implement noble leadership in their life and their work. It's very inspiring. And I believe, and it's a wonderful reference and a wonderful tool to have at hand to go back on and reflect, maybe if you're not feeling good about where you are, and reflect on these different quantum powers and self-care tools and so forth to really search deep inside of yourself. What lights you up? What is your higher purpose? And do you bring that to work? Do you live your values?
Right.
And do you have that deep compassion and oneness consciousness of interconnection to all that is? And I believe it will bring that heightened awareness to people and how they attend to their internal reality and how that will bring forward a brighter path that will illuminate a brighter world for all of us, for everyone.
Yeah, thank you. Dar, do you have something else?
Yeah, I just like to quote from the beginning of our book. We have a page that says, "What is nobility?" And then we have a quote from Ernest Hemingway. "There's nothing noble in being superior to your fellow man. True nobility lies in being superior to your former self."
Yeah. That's good. That's good.
Indeed.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Ken, anything else you needed to add on this? You think we
No, did? I think my colleagues have said it all.
All right.
Thank you.
Wonderful. Yeah. So one more time, if you can tell us, Ken, where we can find this book, that would be great.
Well, it's on 30 digital book sale sites, including Amazon.com. And we have a website as well that people can access to learn more about the book. It's freely, it's open. It summarizes some of the stories of the noble leaders, et cetera. And that is at www.noble-leaders.com. And so you can learn about the book, and then after you've seen it and previewed what we have on the site, you can go in immediately and buy it, or you can go directly to Amazon.com or other booksellers and buy it directly. Thank you.
Wonderful. Yeah. Thank you guys so much on your time here today. I think that this was a beneficial interview, and I hope that our audience not only hear your guys' stories, not only are impacted, but do purchase the book, do leave reviews and reach out to you guys and let you guys know how they receive the book. And so if you don't want to buy the book for yourself, buy it for somebody else, because we need noble leaders out there. So thank you guys so much for your time. I hope you guys can collaborate in the future and we can have you back onto the podcast.
Thank you, Dallas.
Thank you, Dallas. Thank you.
Thank you for listening and supporting another episode of My Life Now.
Please remember to subscribe to our podcast show and share it with a friend.
Together, we can keep the message of these books alive.
Until we turn the next page together, stay classy.